Now, the word placebo means I will please in Latin, and it's the phenomenon that if someone thinks something's going to help them, then they get benefit even if the thing does absolutely nothing. But how much benefit the person gets depends heavily on their expectations, and those, it turns out, are coloured by the reliability and reproducibility of their past experiences. Arvina Grahl subjected volunteers to mild heat pain, which she relieved with a fake TENS device. For some of the participants, she tweaked the pain levels to make it look like the TENS device delivered less reliable relief. For others, it worked well every time. The question was, how would this affect the performance of the placebo effect, and how would it be reflected in brain imaging measurements?
So what we actually wanted to address here was to create two different groups and present a painful stimulus, which we did with heat pain. One group with very precise expectations about the efficacy of the treatment, and one group with more unreliable expectations concerning this treatment. And the idea was to see that the group that had much more precise expectations concerning this treatment would benefit from this precision, because those information were much more reliable concerning the efficacy of the treatment compared to the other group. This would mean that the placebo effect would be larger for the more precise group compared to this group with more unreliable information.
What was the nature of the treatment that you gave them for the thermal pain?
So the treatment, we told our participants that it is an electrical stimulation, which is called TENS. It is well known. We used this to tell them this would help to give you some pain relief during this thermal stimulation. But actually, we never applied this.
And how did you then factor in the precise information versus the imprecise information situation, so that there was that variation between the two groups? How did you do that?
A classical placebo study always works that you present your participants with two conditions, a treatment condition and a non-treated control condition. And then the second phase would be that you present the same thing again. But in the first phase, we don't tell our participants that we present them two different intensities, a more painful for the control and a less painful for the treated, to let them really experience this treatment effect. And in the group with the high precision, we actually present it as this lower intensity, always the same intensities of pain. And in the other group, where we wanted to create some unreliable information, some more variable information, we actually varied this treatment effect. So sometimes it was more pain relieving and sometimes it was less pain relieving.
So in other words, they don't realize it, but you're making the stimulus change so that it's more or less painful, and they think it's because the pain relief is better. It's not. It's because you're actually subjecting them to more discomfort. And then you're using that to make them think they're getting relief.
That's exactly what we do.
Right.
So we always tell them for the whole experiment, it is always the same pain intensity that they will get. And due to the treatment, they will feel a certain relief.
And what happens?
As we did this experiment also in the fMRI scanner, where we have a look at the brain responses as well, and wanted to see if the brain processes the pain differently when we induce different expectations, we first see in the behavior that the placebo effect was actually nearly non-present in this more unreliable information group and much larger in this higher precision group. And we also could see that this was modulated in the brain in a very well-known area called the PEG.
This is the periaqueductal grey matter, isn't it? It's where there's a centre of endogenous opioid activity in the nervous system.
Exactly. It's a very exciting area, actually, because it has strong modulating influences on the pain perception, also on pain that's incoming and also pain that was processed in the brain and is feedback back to the skin, for example, where the painful stimulation was presented. But what we actually see, which is very interesting, is we see a higher activation for those participants that had the more unreliable expectations prior to this test phase. So we see that there's more modulation needed if you have more unreliable information concerning the treatment.
Well, that sounds a bit counterintuitive. One would expect that you'd see more activity if you were seeing more reliable pain relief. So how do you account for that?
We referred that to different resource demanding processes. So when we know that expectations are very reliable, or when we see that there is less activation needed to process this information because they're already similar to those that I expect, then you need less resources in this modulatory area.
And can we utilize this information now to try and work out a way of exploiting this mechanism to a better effect?
I would say it is important that a physician actually asks for expectations of a treatment and assesses what the patient actually experienced in other treatments to increase the expectation effect of the treatment in combination with the actual treatment.
Arvina Grahl, she's from the University Medical Center Hamburg-Eppendorf.